Please join me in our prayer for understanding of God's word. Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. By the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us of your promises, that we might hear your truth and enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading of God's word today is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, titled The Parable of Ten Virgins. And I'm reading from the New International Version. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue on our journey of faith this morning. So good to have Howard back. He does a wonderful job. Thank you, brother. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word. It speaks a truth. And we ask that we could simply listen, so that even if it challenges us, we'll continue to listen, not close our ears and hearts. Thank you for speaking powerfully. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at somebody. If they've nodded off, gently wake them. We don't want anybody screaming in terror. Go ahead and look at somebody right now. And I also want to be listening to the enthusiasm with which this phrase is stated and how, and the inflection. Look at the person right in the eye and say, "Patience is a virtue." You know, I was looking over here in this section here, and I just saw a sister and brother pointing at each other, actually, and trying to get it. I don't know if that was, that's what I'm saying, for emphasis. It was kind of like, he's talking to you. Okay, let's go ahead and listen here. Keep open. And that's one of those phrases that is probably good to put on a sticky note and put in our cars right now, okay? Before we, boy, I see people pointing at each other all over the sanctuary now. This is outstanding. I might just stand up here and watch that. This is a great show. This is wonderful. But go ahead and put that up there. Okay, put that in your car. Put that under your rearview mirror. We can bring bumper stickers, things like that. Put that up. And just kind of keep thinking that. That's kind of a mantra, okay? Sometimes waiting is not the best aspect of our personalities. Waiting and being patient and taking a deep breath and thinking, okay, what am I waiting for here? And is it really keeping me from experiencing God's grace or building God's kingdom? Or am I just frustrated because that person is counting out every last penny here to pay the bill in front of me, wherever they may be? Well, for us, as children of God, we understand that waiting upon God, okay? Waiting upon God is key to our spirituality, to our growth, but also to building His kingdom. Now remember, it's not my kingdom, it's not your kingdom, it's not Gila Mountain United Methodist Church kingdom. Whose kingdom is it, kids? Whose kingdom is it, kids? God's, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. In this particular scripture reading, Jesus is sharing that the kingdom of heaven is like, and so he's telling a story, and he loved to tell stories, didn't he? He's a master storyteller, and he was able to weave people into the story and embrace them and engage them. And he's telling a story here. And although it's not really key that it's surrounding a wedding, I still have to tell you a couple of wedding stories from my history as a pastor. I will not include anybody in attendance here today and in their wedding. I tell you that, I promise you. But as far as waiting, and as the minister, people start looking to you, because people who are normally calm and collected and have a great amount of peace in their own life all of a sudden start losing their minds around weddings. And the smallest little thing becomes huge and immense, and you can just see it growing, the tension, until all of a sudden there's steam shooting out the ear. I'm sorry to show you that side of me, but I was really starting to get into it, talking to some of our choir members here. There's this steam, and there's this red, and there's sweat, and people get really, really nervous. And one particular wedding that we were waiting for it to start, and people kind of look at me like all of a sudden I can click my fingers, and people who are late are going to show up, magically appear. And we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and half an hour passed, then 45 minutes passed, and we were waiting for the bride's father. And 45 minutes, and everybody else, and the bride is in her gown, and this was back in a church I served in Pennsylvania, and they didn't have air conditioning there, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I creating a scenario here? Am I creating a situation here? And she's sweating and starting to melt. And her father finally showed up. And you know why he was 45 minutes late? He couldn't fasten his cummerbund. Not kidding you. Another wedding that I was to perform, hopefully sometime that night, we were waiting and waiting and waiting for the groom. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Waiting for the groom. An hour and a half later, kid you not, he showed up. It was one of those situations where we were having the wedding, where we were also having the food. Do you realize how difficult it is to keep people from eating food whenever it's sitting right there in front of them? And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. So we kind of had the reception before the wedding. And it was just one of those cultural things, truly, truly, in this situation where he thought, well, he was going to show up eventually, and then we eventually did have the ceremony. But it's kind of funny because people were looking at me like, do something. And I said, well, we need two people for a marriage ceremony. That's key. They need to both be here. Waiting. Patience. Being open to how God is speaking into our lives is a great truth of this particular story. Now, certainly, in the Palestinian culture of the time, weddings were great celebrations. And it wasn't simply the wedding itself, but then it was the feast afterwards. And that was another funny story, too. Just one more story, I promise. I went to a wedding ceremony, okay, for a parishioner. His his son was getting married, and it was in a Roman Catholic church, and I went there, and I greeted him after the ceremony. I stayed for the whole ceremony, certainly, and I really enjoyed it, and I said, I'm not going to be able to come to the reception because I have a wedding to perform myself. Later on that week, he saw me and said, why didn't you come to the wedding? He was talking about the reception. And back in Western PA, the reception is the big thing. Anybody from Pennsylvania or back east, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, the reception is the big thing. And you get these little cream horn cookies, and you get these little pizzelle cookies, and you get these little things. I'm starting to drool just thinking about it. And everybody shows up, and they have this cookie. They have this cookie table out. I kid you not, it's like this beautiful altar of cookies out there before any of the other food. And you can go up and get a plate of cookies before you eat dinner. Now that's how to party. That's wonderful. That's excellent, isn't it? I mean, that's true too. They do that. They have the cookie table. Outstanding. Well, they didn't have cookie tables back in Palestine. They didn't do that. That wasn't part of the tradition. But the wedding ceremony, nonetheless, was a big deal. And people waited for the groom to come. They were just waiting. That was traditionally what happened. And they're waiting here in this story. So, you know, Jesus is taking something from common to everyday life and communicating a great truth of what the kingdom of heaven is all about. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's important to note also that Jesus uses the kingdom of heaven rather than saying the kingdom of God. Now, in essence, they're the same thing. But whenever you read that here, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Okay, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the here and now of being disciples in the name of Jesus Christ, even though he's talking about patience and waiting as well. And so the groom is delayed here, and we understand that those who are in attendance in the wedding are waiting, and we understand that there are some that have enough oil, and there are those that don't have enough oil. And it's not that anybody is necessarily bad or good, but there are those who are prepared, and there are those who are unprepared. There are those who are going to have plenty of oil because they don't really know how long it's going to take the groom to get there. And as part of the Palestinian wedding tradition, whenever the groom got near, there was somebody in his party that ran ahead and signaled that he was coming. So everybody in the groom's house went out, and they had their lamps lit, and there was this wonderful procession, and they came in and had the ceremony, and then there were days of feasting, okay, and celebrations. This is a big deal. And so to prepare and to be properly prepared for this celebration, for when the groom arrived, was important. And it also communicated that those attendants, those wedding attendants, were taking their responsibility seriously. Is this really about a wedding? No. It's about waiting upon God. And it's certainly about discipleship in the meantime before Jesus comes again in glory. It's about how we are building God's kingdom in the meantime. Jesus is going to come again. But in the meantime, what are we doing? Are we being faithful? Are we preparing? Are we serving in the name of Jesus? Are we doing things also to make sure that our oil is stored up inside of us to prepare to greet the coming of our King and our Lord and our Savior? Well, that's a question that each of us can answer, that only each of us can answer. But there are certainly ways in which we can help our supply of oil, that presence of God in us, to become stronger and deeper. Worship is one way, isn't it? To come together, to be encouraged, to remember that God is at work always and forever. And to carry that truth also out to share it with others and to be lived in our lives. Reading the Word of God, the Bible, being in His Word and being open to how that Word speaks to us and creates in us is another way to make sure that that oil of new life in us continues to be replenished. Fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another, being with one another, loving one another. Service in the world, service in the church, in different groups in the church, in ministries that happen here out of this church, into the community and into our world. All of those different ways help to make sure that supply of oil that is in us, that presence of Christ that is in us, continues to be replenished so that our light can shine in the world as well. You know, we're not called to put that light under a bushel, are we? We are called to let it shine in the world. What are you doing? What are you doing to continue to make sure that that store of oil in you continues to grow and be replenished so that you can be a witness of Jesus Christ and the truth of His resurrection and love in the world? I don't think that it's a coincidence that this story happens at night, because we understand that dark times are going to come in our lives as well. Just because we say that we're a Christian doesn't mean that challenging times aren't going to be faced. In fact, sometimes right after we have a time of renewal in our lives, maybe it was after that first time that you said, Lord, I accept the relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Maybe right after that, there were things that started battering you. You wondered, hold it now. Well, dark times coming. Dark times will continue. However, God keeps His promises. God never lies. God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And there is always, always hope in believing in God and trusting in God. And here's that phrase again, waiting upon God, right? Waiting upon God. Yesterday, we had a service of death and resurrection for Dwayne House. And his family was gathered, and every service of death and resurrection that we have here certainly is a service that recognizes an earthly death, but it also recognizes a greater truth, a heavenly resurrection, a renewal, a hope, so that even as those who are gathered are experiencing that bit of darkness, thinking about, I'm not going to see that person in this life, I will by and by. And in a scripture passage that I share in most every service of death and resurrection, I offer those words that Jesus offered in the Gospel of John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. That, my friends, that word of hope can replenish our oil as well, can it? Because when Jesus gives us something, it's lasting. It's forever. This oil. And this is where it starts getting a little bit challenging in this story. This oil is something that one group of the attendants doesn't necessarily want to share with others, do they? Well, go ahead and get out and get your own. that's similar to faith. And this is a challenging thing to hear. Our faith is something that God is always at work on. Our oil, our store of oil in us. God is always at work on that and increasing that, helping that to grow. But that's something that we can do, we and God can do, on that journey, on that relationship that we have. And it's not something that we can do for somebody else. As much as I would love to be able to offer some sort of magic words to somebody that comes to me, to all the people that have come to me over the years, seeking a greater faith, seeking some sort of magic words that would all of a sudden make something better, I don't have them. But I can point to the source of all good things and healing and love. Amen? We can't grow somebody's faith for them, somebody else's faith. We can encourage them. The good news is God's already at work in that life, whether they realize it or not. That's explaining that whole situation of, well, we can't really give you oil, but you can go out and get some more. For us, every day is an opportunity to increase that supply of oil, of life in our lives. Since the oil needs to be replenished, that also means that we need to use that oil, right? We need to be witnesses in the world. So, this is going to be a challenge. The next time you're behind somebody in line at Fry's, you know, I always give you the most difficult challenges, but this is a real world application. It might even happen today. So it'll still be ringing in your ears. The next time you are in line at Fry's and somebody is having trouble operating the machine, or they're counting out the change and they lose count and they have to start all over again, and you're waiting there, okay? What kind of witness are you going to be at that very moment? Are you going to whip out your cart into another lane, not caring if you run into somebody else's ankles along the way or run over their toes or kind of make a real scene? Or are you just going to stand there, maybe pray for that person that they can make it through the day? Maybe they're dealing with something. Something else is on their mind, and this is just taking all their energy to be able to do that. Are you going to be able to just kind of take a deep breath and then breathe out again? And pull from that oil of grace that God fills all of us with, that oil that you've been developing, are you going to pull from some of that and let your light shine? Children, you going to do that? Okay. That's a challenge. And sometimes the greatest challenge is in the most mundane places and situations in our lives, aren't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes it happens out on the golf course. When things aren't going well for you, do things always go well out on the golf course? Everything? All of your shots go well? All your putts and everything like that? Yeah, absolutely. Is the name of Jesus brought up on the golf course? Yes, absolutely. No question about it. And God? Absolutely. A lot of prayers. Okay. So we pull from that store of oil inside of us, and we let our light shine in a world that needs to see that light of Jesus now more than ever. So I want to tell you something. This place is not only going to be a place where you can drop all of your burdens and concerns and worries, okay? You can lay it here. But it's also going to be a place where I promise you that you're going to be reminded each and every time that we gather, that God is at work in your life. And oftentimes I'll add, whether you believe it or not, because some days that's what you think, right? God is at work in your life. There was a retired pastor who's since gone on to glory that shared a story. And he was alone in the sanctuary after worship, and he was going through and he was picking up things that had been left, bulletins, gum wrappers, whatever, picking up those things and getting ready to go ahead and throw them away. And in the emptiness of the sanctuary, a sense of God's presence came over him, and he was starting to think about what else people had left in those pews. What worries they had left there. What brokenness they had left there. What concerns they had left there in that place as an offering to God, so that God would be able to fill them even more with that abundant, overflowing oil of life that only comes through Jesus Christ. Leave it here and be filled with God's grace. Leave it here and know that God is already at work. It's in His timing, not yours, but in His timing. And know that God is filling you with that oil, not to be hoarded, but to be a light in the world. Amen. Join with me in prayer.